Kum lernen a black gemara. We are up to Daf Kuv Gimel Amud Aleph in Perek Haboina. So we're talking about here building, what constitutes building. And we said even the smallest amounts considered a building. And then we talked about Makab Bepatish, the final blow. Says the gemara here, the Mishnah concludes Zach by four lines on the top of the page by the two dots. The Mishnah concludes that this is the rule. Zach, this is the rule that if you do a malacha and the malacha is existing, on Shabbos, you did it on Shabbos, you are chayiv. And this is the final halacha. What is the Mishnah coming to add? When we already said, you know, the final blow, we already said makab et patish or bematzad with an axe. La suye de chok kefiza bekava. If you, let's say, carved out of an item, a cavity that can contain three loigin, but really, eventually, you want to carve out a bit further that it can contain a larger measure of four loigin. So you didn't complete the job. But because right now it's totally useful, you're chayiv because there are people who just carve out that amount. Rabbi Hai Goyin says it means something else. It means when you finish a keli, a measuring cup, you then make lines, shnosses. We had in Rav Menachas that you make lines to tell you know the measurements. And if you add those lines, so you're not doing actually anything with the keli itself, it's more the exterior, it's called makor patish. Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah says that not only if you hit the item, but also if you hit the actual anvil, you're chayiv. Why? Because you're fixing. What's exactly happening? What do you do here? Says the Gemara, Michael, what exactly did you do? Hamakah b'kunat al sadan, Michael, what did you do? Rabbi Yisrael Tavai, Vosem Nishma, Aminus Yoda, you're training, your hands are getting used to, so you can do future work in a better way. Says the Gemara, you know, you want to try different methods, more pressure, less pressure. Says the Gemara, Kosher b'mer chovel me'atas, you tell me training is considered a malacha, choza nasav shabbat. If you watch your trade being done on Shabbos and you're learning from b'gomar, hochinamim mechayiv, training is on Shabbos is considered an isif for the Torah. It's like makab patish, no such thing. El abayu rab davayu, she came marde, tase mishkan, oisin kain. Those people who were, let's say, flattening out those little plates for the Mishkan to cover them, the beams would do this. They would hit three times on the plate that they want to do, and then the fourth time they would hit it on the anvil, because what happens is that the hammer sometimes starts getting some edges and some points, and you don't want that to happen. So you smooth out the hammer from time to time, occasionally on the anvil, and before you go back to work with the tray. So this is part of the malacha. If you're hitting it on the actual anvil, b'shas melacha during the work, chayiv came marded. They tase mishkan oizikain. Clearly, because those people who were flattening out the plates in the mishkan did it exactly that. Okay, we completed the melacha of building. Now goes the next melacha of chayish plowing. How much do you have to plow to be asar chayish? Again, koshu. The slightest amount of plowing, digging a hole, you're already chayiv. Hamenachesh, if somebody weeding, the hamikarsim, let's say you're taking off dry, dead twigs from your tree, which obviously improves the tree. Vahamazadeh, very moist branches. You take them off because there's too many and weak as a tree. Koshu, all of these chayiv, you're chayiv. Why? Because you're improving the tree. Hamalaket eitzim. What happens if you're collecting wood? It depends what your purpose is. Imla saka, just stamp. No, it's not too wet, not because it's too dry. You're just taking some twigs. Depends why you're doing it, or branches from the tree. Imla saka, if you're trying to improve the tree or the ground and kolshein, even a drop. But imla hesik, but if you want to use it as logs for a fire, firewood, then we learned already previously, kidei levashel be'akala, enough to cook an egg, which cooks quickly, and the egg the size of a gregris. Hamalaket asavim, if you could collect, you know, taking out the weeds and the grass. Im lasakin, to improve the ground and koshu, even the smallest amount. And im lebehema, and if it's for a behema, you know, you want to feed your animal, is kemole pi hagdi. We already learned previously as well, for a behema, it's kemole pi hagdi. Okay, says the Gemara. Now, we just said if you cook even the smallest amount, if you cook the smallest amount, says the Gemara, l'chayda l'maychazi, what can you do with such a small amount? A small little hole, what can you do? So we answer, chazda l'biza dekra. It's good for a seed from the gourd family, from a pumpkin. In the Kavasik al Mishkan, we find the Mishkan, shkehiro l'kalachechot shesamonim, for one stalk for the dye. Rashi already asked, we learned before, you need a minimum, we had different amounts of seeds you need for different fruits, but we said the minimum is two, and why over here suddenly is one? So Rashi says they were talking about carrying on Shabbos. And carrying, you need a minimum of two, otherwise you wouldn't carry it. But over here, we're talking about over here that you're going to dig a slight little hole. Each hole, even though you might dig 100 holes, is a separate hole. They're not like one, you know, one activity. It's 100 activities. And therefore, since each hole is on one hole for one seed, it's considered a malacha. Says the Gemara further, other Goyim say he's talking about that it's already planted and now you're digging a little hole to irrigate, so therefore each seed has to have its own little irrigation. Menachesh and Makassar, these are different kinds of weeding out the rotten or the bad branches to improve the tree. Talmud, we learned how toilish olshin, if somebody cuts off, let's say, what's that called, endives, v'hamezareid zrodim, if somebody takes reeds and takes out the very wet ones. Now, with these reeds, it depends, there's different stages. When it's still very moist, it can be fit for human consumption. And if it's a bit harder, it's fit only for animal consumption. And when it dries completely, it's only for firewood. So what's the share for that? So it depends. Im lachile, if it's still moist, you want to eat it. In kugregis, what we learned before, the size of a dry fig. Im lebehem, if you want to, if it's very dry or you want to feed an animal, come lepiagdi, filling up a goat. And im lehesek, and if it's totally dry, and for firewood, kidei levashel be'akala. Im liyafas as a karka, and if you're doing it not for its own sake, but you're doing it to improve the land, then kol shehein, even the slightest amount, you're improving the land, you're chayiv. Says Imara, otu kula liyafas a karka, even if you're taking it for other purposes, the fact is you're, by taking these, removing these, you're improving the value, the quality of the soil and the growth around there. So Rabbi Yisrael Vayu, Agim, we're talking about a place where you, because it's an Agim, it's a swamp, you're not growing anything anyway, it makes no difference, no improvement. Abaye says, I feel tame of basada in a field, the lav agum. Not talking about a swamp, but going to loy mechavan. You had no intention. If your intention was to eat it, you had no intention to improve the quality of the land. So the Gemara has a question for Abai v'Rava the Amitavai. Both Abai, both Rava say moider Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon agrees, but seek reisha loyamus. Rab Shimon agrees that if you cut the head off, it won't die. No, but if it's inevitable, that even Rab Shimon says, then you chayiv. You carry a very heavy chair. You know that it's going to make holes in the ground. Then you are chayiv. So the Gemara answers loy no tzricha we need. Now here is a famous interpretation of how the Gemara answers, which is the Aruch and others. The Ka'ovid Ba'ara de Chavre. You're taking the weeds out, but it's not your land, it's someone else's land. So, even though it's a psikresha, but loy nichale, you don't have any benefit from it. And because you have no benefit from it, therefore it's not asa. Here comes the concept that the Go'enim and the Aruch holds, called Shittas Aruch, that a psikresha, the loy nichale, even though it's psikresha, but if you don't you really have any benefit from it, you're not liable. We had a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos define, hey, whether loy nichale means you don't want it, or loy nichale means you don't care one way or another. There are other Shein who argue on this whole principle, psikresha loy nichale, and there are other Shein who question what's the logic in it. What do you mean psikresha loy nichale? If you do a melacha Shabbos and you don't really want it, it's still chayiv, you did it. So what's the difference? In the Nachronim, they want to say, the difference is, how do we understand psikresha? Why are you chayiv? I'm pulling a chair and then I'd make holes in the ground. And I knew that I'm going to make holes in the ground. There's two ways of understanding. Is the pshat is that since when I pulled the chair, I knew that the second malach is going to come in train, which is making holes in the ground, and I wanted to pull the chair. It's as if both malachas are one malacha. They're both happening concurrently, and my machshava goes on both. I did them both. The other way of learning is that no, I wanted to pull the chair, but if it's inevitable that something else will happen, then it's like a second generation, a second malacha, but I also wanted that. So because, according to the second way, because it's weaker, it's not really what I wanted, so just the second generation, then if I say I don't really want it, it's as if I cut my machshav off it. But if it becomes one act, because it's inevitable, it's like one thing happening, then who cares what you think, what you want? The fact is that you wanted to pull a chair, so you are chayiv. Yeah, this is the basis of this long taste on the left side. You can see it talks about it, the Russia. This is the basis of those who hold psikresha, the loy nichale, because ba'ara de chavri. The Rajba has a different pshat. We don't have time right now. Says the Mishnah Vayter. Hakoisiv shtei oisiv. If somebody writes two letters, bein b'imino with the right hand, bein b'imino with the left hand. Whether you write your right hand or left hand. Now, what's the chiddush of the right and the left hand? We'll soon see. Bein b'shemech, whether it's the same letters, bein b'shtei shemech, different letters. You know, if you write aleph, aleph, or aleph, beis. Bein b'shtei, some money is rational, it means two different dyes. The other shame have a problem with that. They say it means if you write letters that have a simon. An aleph stands for something, a beis stands for something. B'chol loshon, in any language, chayiv, you are chayiv. Mahatayr. Amar b'yitzi, lo chayiv u'shtei oisiyas. B'yitzi says, no. The av malach, perhaps not writing. The av malach is that you're not chayiv for writing two letters, Elam Shum Reshim. It's only for making a mock. Because we find in the Mishkan, Shekachayshin Lakashay Mishkan, they used to take apart, dismantle the beams. In the Mishkan, they used to write on every beam, Leida Ezer Mezuga, they make a line going from one beam, and the other half of the line will be on the next beam, so they know exactly which beams are next to each other. If you wanted to write a long name and you ended up writing the smaller name, so you wrote the first two letters from Shimon or from Shmuel, or Noyach Menacher, or Don Medaniel, and God Megadil, and all of these, you are Chayv. So even though you didn't complete your Melacha, you intended to write a full word, you only wrote part of it, nevertheless, you're Chayv. Because since this the two letters you wrote is a word. In other words, if you would have written two letters that is not a word, then Yitaka wouldn't be chayv. You didn't do anything. But you wanted to write Shimon, you wrote Shin Mem, Shame. Shame is a word elsewhere, so therefore you are chayv. Says the Gemara, Bishleimer, I understand how you mean. You write with the right hand, L'chayim, Mishu Derek Sivakach. That's how you normally write. El Asmoel Amai. Why are you chayv for writing the left hand? Or in Derek Sivakach, you did a Shinu. At least my Torah, you shouldn't be chayv. I'm going to be me talking about a lefty. Says the Gemara, if we're talking about a lefty, then his left hand is like anybody else's right hand. What's a chiddush? But Tevi Smol today, ki min dekuliyama. So his left hand, he's like anybody else's right hand. So what's a big deal? And then this guy here, if he's a lefty, then he should be only chai for the left hand and not for the right hand. Is that smol lechayv? I mean loy lechayv. So who's the Mishnah talking about? A righty or a lefty? Elmer by Beshoy Toyodov, a guy who's ambidextrous. He can use both hands. And one of the shayim say the lashon and so there is that he does most activities with the left hand, but he does some with the right, and he writes a little bit with his right. And this is very negay regarding tefillin. If somebody's ambidextrous, the question is which hand should put tefillin on. And there's a big machlekes, and we say that it has to do with the writing hand, which is the main hand. But I saw some of the shayim on this gemara here say if he writes a little bit with his right hand, sounds like even if he doesn't write, you know, only with the right hand. He can write both hands, and he might even write more with the left hand, but if you can write with the right hand, you know, neatly, it's considered already a righty as well. Anyway, says more further, Rabbi Yaakov, interesting, Breya was the son of Bas Yaakov, the daughter of Yaakov. So Zayde, Rabbi Yaakov had a daughter, and Rashi says in other places that the son-in-law was not deserving of being mentioned in the Gemara, so they call him by his mother. He's the son of the daughter of Yaakov. Amar said, "Homani Rabbi Yisi." He wanted to answer. When it says the Mishnah, right hand or left hand, it's Rabbi Yisi. Remember, Rabbi Yisi says it's not writing; it doesn't have to be legible, just a mark. And a mark, who cares? Right hand, even left hand, it's still a mark. Amar lechayv shteyish labishum reishin, only because a mark. Any more over the save Rabbi Yisi, reishin Rabbi Yisi. The Mishnah concludes. Rabbi Yisi says, obviously, the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yisi. Answer the Gemara, cool Rabbi Yisi. The entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Matzinu, we find that if you intended to write a longer word and you wrote a shorter word, as long as the shorter word is a valid word, you are chayv." Ella, Rabbi Yehuda, shtei oisis vehen shtei shemus and chayv. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds only if it's two letters and it's two different letters, like shin mem, mashmer. Yeah. But what happens? Shtei oisis vehen shemecha, two letters, but they're the same name. Let's say an aleph aleph beis beis gimel gimel. He's not chayiv. It was a sun si, like this sin sin. You want to write sustach and you wrote sin sin sin, which sus, which is a word, but it's the same letter. Sounds like you're not chayiv. So let me ask you a question. But Tanya, we learned, it says in the pasuk, we had this previous anymore as well, but also achas, it says in the pasuk that you shouldn't sin, and if you did, but also me achas mehena. And we say, first of all, both men's are extra. It could have said, but also achas. And why is it me'achas from one of these? I mean, not all of them. And then it said mehena from these. Why you could just said hena? And in fact, one of these words didn't have to say. It could have said va'asa hena or va'asa achas. So we're going to learn three things from here. So Yochel, I would have thought atche yichtiv kol Hashem. I would have thought you have to write the entire name atche yare kol abeg until you weave the entire garment. Atche yase kol nofa until you're building, you know, making the like these buttoneer and the, you know, you on the warp and the and, when you're sewing and garment that machine over there. And the loom that you have to, you know, weave vertically, and then you have the threads that go horizontally, and you only made two stitches. You didn't make all of it. I would have thought that you shouldn't be chayy tam loy me'achas. Even one of part of a malach you're also chayv. Even part of malach yochel afilo kosher loy achas. Even one letter. You only wore one string. You only made, you know, one section that you had also the horizontal going across. Maybe you should be chayv as well. Tamalem, achas has to be one. Okay, so is it a complete or incomplete? Einel chayiv atche yichtav shem katan shem gadol. Incomplete, but it has to be complete somewhere else. For example, you wanted to write Shimon, you ended up writing Shem. So Shem is a name. Other people write the word Shem. So therefore, it's incomplete, you know, relative to you, but it's still a complete thing. Shem v'shimon u'mishmul noach menachar damed daniel god megadil. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afilu loy kosev elushtein oisis." And look here. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you wrote two letters, vehein shem echad, even if they're the same letters, chayiv. For example, sos, teis. You know, you have a longer word. He wanted to write a longer word, and he wrote sos, or he wrote teis, or he wrote rar, or gag, or chach. And Rashi brings the different words that he was going to write. So we see clearly from here, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the same letter, if it's two letters, you're chayiv. And our Mishnah says clearly, Mishnei Shemus, two different letters. Rabbi Yehuda continues and argues. He says, "V'chi mishum kaisiv hu chayiv." You think he's chayiv because of writing? Well, in the chayiv mishum reishim, if you're making a mark, shekein reishim in alkashim mishkan. They used to make a mark on the beams of the mishkan later to know ezir ben zugai. What's the other, you know, the matching beam? L'ficha, therefore, sorat titach. They made one scratch. They etched one scratch on two. These beams, or they made two scratches on one beam. If you made one going across two different pieces of wood, or you made two scratches on one, you're chayiv, because that's, you don't have to write words, even images, or even just a streak across is already chayiv. Rav Shimon says, "V'osa achas yochla." We thought Yisrael was called Hashem the entire name. Machir kol begi, you have to weave the entire begi. The jazzer kol anofi, the entire. The stitches, the tamalayim, me'ach is part of it. E'ma'ach is afilu alakos v'lo yisachem, one letter, afilu yorig alakodech, only one thread. Afilu also alakodech, benof, only one stitching tamalayim, but achas. Okay, it's ein chayiv, at she'yas a melocha, you're not chayiv unless you did a melocha. She'kiyotze b'miskayemes. That lasts, that other places, it lasts. Now, it sounds like Rav Shimon is very similar to the Tanakhama, and we'll discuss that soon. Rabbi Yaisi says, also, achas v'osa heina. It says in the pasuk, it could have said the word osa achas. Could have said osa heina. Why does it say both? Because pa'amim, we already had this before. Occasionally, shechayv achas akol. Sometimes you chayv achas, even though you did many, and sometimes you did many, you did one and you chayv many. And we explained the difference is if you forgot that it's Shabbos, you did many malachas, you bring only one chatas. Even though you didn't remember melachas. Although if you knew what Shabbos, Zodin Shabbos, but you forgot some melacha, then even though it's all on the same Shabbos, you bring many chatois. Let's get back to our original question. Rabbi Yehuda says clearly here, two letters, the same, identical letters, chayiv. And our Mishnah seems to say, now give the two different letters. Says, well, not a problem. Why not? He personally holds like an our Mishnah only for two different letters. And this is his Rebbe holds even the same letters as long as it's a word, like sin, it's a word. Elsewhere, you are chayiv. The Tanya, who is his Rebbe? Rabbi Yehuda, Eimim, Meshur, and Gimel, Lila, Afilu, Kosel, Beis, Oisis, Behen, Shem, Echad, even the same letter, chayiv. Kigoy, Sos, Teis, Rod, Gag, Chach. Now the Mordechai has a question of Rab Shimon, Hainu, Tanakama, Rab Shimon, and Tanakama both seem to say the same thing. That sometimes, you know, from the two psukim, one place says all of it is a part of it, so we say part of it, which is what? Like a whole thing. For example, you wrote the Shin Mem from Shimon, that's what Tanakhama says. So other places, people want that. And Rav Shimon says, doesn't give an example, but Rav Shimon says that if it's something, Amalach, that's Mekayim in other places, aren't they saying the same thing? The Chitema, maybe they're arguing, Aleph, the Azercha. If they write two letters of a word, but it's not a word elsewhere. For example, the word Azercha, which is a pasuk in Tanakh, and you have only the first two letters, Aleph, which is not a word elsewhere. Maybe that's the argument. Rav Shimon holds it's still chayiv. Tanakhama holds it. Remember the example Tanakhama gave was that the two letters you wrote is a word elsewhere. But maybe Rav Shimon goes further and says even the same letter, even if it's not a word elsewhere, you are chayiv. No, Rav Shimon is more machmer. The Tanakhama saw that alav alav azecha loy mechayiv, and Rav Shimon holds that sovar kivin deisa begal turi ba'alma. Rav Shimon says since it is used in some places, where, for example, in the Kameya, an amulet, or in different writings, and Rashi says it from witchcraft, chants. And then Rashi says also in Latin that they have, you know, different words, that perhaps letters that they use. And it's not used anywhere really else, and Rav Shimon holds, because it's used some places, that's enough. If it's not a word at all, it's one thing, but if it's used in a few places, that's good enough. Maybe that's the argument. So Rav Shimon is more machmer. Says Gemara, lememra the Rav Shimon l'chumras. You want to tell me Rav Shimon more machmer that he holds that yechayiv even in case of tanakam holds not. We learned elsewhere just the other way around. With Tanya, we learned hakoida kol shividrul hole, no matter how small it is, even though it didn't go through the entire wood, you know, from one end to the other end, you cannot see another side. Chayiv yechayiv. Hamagadah, if you scrape off koshu, even the slightest amount from an image, or hamaaved koshu, if you start to tan a leather, even the smallest amount, hatzor bekeli to the koshu, you make a diagram in the keli in the slightest amount, the tanakama holds your chayv. Shimon is mekel ad sheyigda the kula. No, when you bore a hole, it has to go all the way through. Ad sheyigrad es kula, until you scrape it all off. Ad sheyabra es kula, until you tan the entire, what do you call it, the skin. Actually, you have to look until you finish painting the entire job. Forget, Rav Shimon always says you have to finish the entire job. How can you tell me here Rav Shimon is more machmer than Tanakama holds even two letters that's barely a word anywhere? You're already chayiv. Rav Shimon has Hashem teach you, Ashir Hashem Kulai. He wants to tell you, forget, you have to write the entire word. He said you have to write the entire word. That's when you're chayiv. That's what Rav Shimon is saying here. So luchayde, if it's an entire word, how is it part? We'll see in a minute. Umi mazomach, how can you say that? But time you learn, but also achas yochav. I thought that Jesus will. I would. It says clearly in the Braisa. I would have thought Shimon is saying. I would have thought you have to write the full name. Tamalim meachas, even part. So we see part is also chayiv. What do you tell me to write the first word, full word? So Yomar now gives a new interpretation. Teretz answer ve'ema hochi. I would have thought yochol ache yichta ve'sapasikul. If you're writing a word from the Torah or Tanakh, maybe you have to write the entire sentence to make sense before you're liable. Kamashlon, even one word you're chayiv, but it has to be a full word. Tamleim me'achas. Okay, getting back to what we learned in the Braisa before, Rabbi Yitzchak says ve'osa achas ve'osa heina pamim shechayiv achas akul. Sometimes you did many avedas, you only bring one chatas. Upa amim shechayiv akolacha. Sometimes even though you sound like you did one aveda, you bring many chatoyis. How's that work? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Bachnina. My time, Rabbi Yitzchak, achas. It could have said achas, instead it says me'achas. Could have said heina, instead it says me'heina. And in fact, one of those are extra. So we dash as follows: achas shehi heina. The heina sheyachas. One sometimes one can be many, and sometimes many can be one, like it says in the American dollar. Achas Shimon me achas sheim Shimon. So part of it is like you write the letters shin mem out of Shimon. Heina is avos and mehena is tulis. The second drush we learn out of could have said heina. Why say mehena? So heina is the avos and mehena means from them. It means from them comes there emerges other ones, another layer which is tulis. Then the third drush is it could have omitted one of those words, achas and heina. So we say as follows: achas sheheina zodn shabbos v'shigas melachas. That if you knew for sure shabbos, you had many melachas. It's all the same shabbos. You had to bring many chatois. Heina sheachas in many avedas, you only bring one kernel chatos. Shigas shabbos v'zod melachas. You forgot that it's shabbos and you knew that you do melachas. You only bring one chatos. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, matzina shenkat mishen gadol mi dami. Now we ask a very interesting question. You're writing shame and mishimin, and we're saying you're liable because you wrote part of a word. Now, if you would write only the word shame, you would write shin with the shlosser mem, with the final mem. Now that you're writing, you want to write shemain, your mem is not a final mem, it's an ordinary mem. So it's not the same letter. So how can we hold you liable? Says the Gemara, mi domi mem de shame sasu. If you write only the word shame, the mem is a final mem. Yet mem de shimin is pasuch, open, it's not the same letter. So you, let's say you only wrote the word shame, but if you wrote the wrong mem, you wrote a regular mem, a pasuach, rather than a sosum, than a sealed mem, than a final mem. Omer Rav Chizkiya, I'm going to teach you that sosum was a pasuach kosher, to tell you that it makes no difference even if it was supposed to be sealed in a sefer Torah. And you wrote it open, it's still kosher. Makes last a question, it says, Ksav Tom, Shekhsiva Tom, you have to write it properly, Shalayichtev, Alf and Ayin, and you shouldn't change an Aleph and Ayin and Ayin and Aleph and Bayis, Lachof and Kof for the base. These are all letters that can be interchangeable. That can be no mistaken, because the way they're written, they're not that far apart from one to another. Rashi says, however, and then all the Rishayim have a problem with it. Rashi says that the problem with Aleph and Ayin is not that they're written the same way, they look similar. So people might think it's an Ayin, they write an Ayin, when in fact it's an Aleph. And other people that are showing him say, what does that do with look? With sounds? It has to do mainly with looks, it, that you wrote a letter that's similar, you might make a mistake. Anyway, al bays, coffin bays, don't make a mistake with coffin bays, a gamin and a tzadin, a gimel and a tzadik, and tzadik and a gimel, and dals and reishin, and reishin dals and a dal and a reish, hein ches, ches hein, a vav and a yud can be make mistake, a yud and vav in zayin nun zayin, the final nun, tes pei tes, can be mistaken. It takes a bit of eye from here. The fact that you can mistake a test for a pain, that means the test, if you look at the picture of the test there, the lurcher has, it goes in on top, in the middle. And kufim pshutin, if you take the letters that are supposed to be, you know, the middle letters, and you make it for the last letters, because the long letters are the last letters, so pshutin, kufin. Or if you make the other way around, mem and samchin, you swap a mem for samach, a samchin mem, stumin, psuchin, psuchin, stumin. If you take a letter that's supposed to be closed and you open it like a mem, or vice versa, parsha, they're all puzzle. Parsha psucha lo yasenu stuma. In the Torah, you have certain parsha that are open as a break and certain parsha that are not. If you swap them, stuma lo yasa psucha. Kosva kashida, if you wrote like Oziyoshi or Hazina, which is written in a different format than the rest of the Torah, shekosav shida giyetzeba, or you wrote the shida like the regular Torah, or shekosav shaloi bidyoi, or you wrote without deer, without that kind of ink. Oshakosav Zaskodas Bezov, he wrote the Abish's name, he thought it would be more choshev to write them in gold. And all these had aliens, so they should all be stored away and put away. Yeah, so Luchayda, clearly you cannot change a mem to a final mem. Says the Gemara, it was the other way around. Hudama Kahai Tana, he holds like the following Tana. The Tana, you read him, say, how do you know the whole concept of Nisachamayim? Nemar, it says, Besheni, on the second day, it says, of Sukhaviniskehem. It says that with Niskehem, and it's, and there's an extra mem there. Could have said the Socheha. It says the mem. Now this mem is the final mem. Then the next pasuk says by Chisir Chatas, it says the Socheha. Could have said the Nosach, Niskeha is extra as well, the extra Yud. Could have said Niska. The Yud is extra. But Shvi on the seventh day, it says Kimishpatom. Again, there's an extra mem, had a mem Yud mem. It teaches the word Mayim, Mekan, Remes, Nizach Mayim, Latere. Now, the very first mem that we're using, which is the mem for Mayim, is an open mem, but you're learning it from a pasuk where there's a final mem, Niskehem. So we see it makes no difference. So what did he do there? He learned from the, he should have written an open mem, and he wrote a final mem, and it's good enough. So the same thing all the way around. If you took a final mem, and you wrote it as an ordinary mem, it's also good enough. Umid the pasuach was a sosum kosher, that, you know, you took a, it was supposed to be an open mem, and the Tater puts it as a closed mem, Niskehem. It's good enough. So vice versa as well. The same thing the other way around. Something was closed. You wrote, and like shame, should be a closed mem. And you wrote an open mem, it should be kosher. So what are you comparing? A closed mem is a high madrigan than an open mem. So if you took an open mem and you made it a closed mem, okay, it's good enough. Like in this case, you wrote a final mem closed, but it could have been an open mem because you want to learn mayim. But in this case here, Shimon, you took, what do you call it? A closed mem, shame, you made the word shame, which is supposed to be a closed mem, and you made it an open mem, degraded it. Who said it's kosher? Pesuva vaza sasam ilu kamaila, you're improving it. Damar Rav Chizkiya said, why is it an improvement? Why is a closed mem any better than an open mem? Because Damar Rav Chizkiya, we had in Mar Megillah, the Rav Chizkiya said, mem v'samach shebaluchas b'nesa yamdin. Since the letters were seen through both sides of the stone, and the mem and the samach have a circle, and you have to have that piece in the middle to be able to see that's a samach or mem, and it was still hanging there, suspended in the air. That's a miracle. So we see, because the letters, the nest that happens with the mem and the samach, it's only a final mem that's a nest. So final mem is a much higher madrega. So how do you know that if were you supposed to write a final mem, if you wrote an open mem, is good enough. So if you, by Shem is supposed to have a final mem, and you wrote Shimon, and you only wrote the first two letters, it's an open mem, who says that you're chayiv on Shabbos? If you didn't really write the proper word, Shem is Shin, but the final mem. Ela sosum ba'asa pesuach gerua kamagadalei, if you're supposed to be closed, and you lowered it, it's actually worse. How do we know? Dom Rabbi Yimei, like we just said in the nest, and Rabbi Yimei said further, Rabbi Yimei said, Rabbi Yimei, Rabbi Yimei, Man Tzpach, Tzayfim Amrum. Man Tzpach, the Tzayfim said, and so therefore, the Tzayfim are the Nevi'im. We have these letters, Man Tzpach, we have two sets of letters. We have the ordinary letters, Mem Nun Tzadik Pei Chof, and then we have, and we call Man Tzpach, even though Chof in the alphabet is much earlier, and because it's we want to say we're called Manspach, which is we want to say that these are the Tzayfim, that the Nevi'im are the ones who did it, so we change it to Manspach. Anyway, so since it sounds from here that the open letters of Mem Nun Tzadik Pei Chof came much later, First, the Eibishter gave us only the Mem Nun side of paper, which is sealed, and that's why it's a higher Madrega. And that's why who said Abchid is right, that if you can change a final Mem to a lower Mem, on the other way around you could do, but a final and lower Mem, you're degrading it. Yes, that's what the Gemara is asking in Abchid. Now, interesting, Tezuri brings down, and Rashi actually asks a question which normally doesn't, and the Gemara there in Megillah says it's the opposite. The Manspach are the final letters that were added later on. And Rashi says, very interesting, that when the Gemara is looking to ask a question, we don't care so much about being exact and being pedantic, and therefore in each Gemara we'll use it to how best to ask our question. Anyway, the Gemara answers back, but let me ask a question. Well, see, it says, you're telling me that the letters of Manspach were introduced, the lowercase letters, you want to call that, or the letters in the middle of the word were introduced later, and therefore it's a lower status. Let me ask you a question. It says in the Pasuk, Eile ha-mitzvah, says the Tayde, these are the mitzvahs. What do you mean, these are the mitzvahs, as Hashem told Moshe? We learn from here, she'ein ha-novi rashoi l'chadish dover me'ata. No novi can come along and add more dinim to the Tayde. So how can you add these letters? Even letters are considered like dinim, because writing a Sefer Tayde, you have to know exactly what letters. Ele novos, may have been made, they knew exactly the letters. They had all the letters, just that they weren't clear which letters belong in the middle of the word and which are the end. So therefore, they're on par. But also, Tzoyfim Teknud, and the Nevi'im came along and told us. You're still unhappy. Even that, even to sort something out that's confusing, the Nevi can't come along and teach us something we didn't know before. Ele shakum, you all knew. The chazal of the yostam, and then they put it back. So therefore, according to Rav Chisda, all the letters are on par. One letter is not better than the other letter. The Nevi'im didn't come along later and teach us some new letters. It was always there, just we forgot, and we found out later. And according to Al Gemara here, which of the letters we found out later? The ordinary letters. According to Gemara Megillah, it was the final letters. Just to finish the sugya, Gufa, let's analyze. Om Rav Chisda. Mem v'samach shebeluchas b'nesa yamdin. It was a miracle because you can see it on both sides of the stone. You can read the luchas from front and you can read it on the other side as well. The only difference is when you read on the other side, it's backwards, it's back to front. So if you're going, for example, the word nevuv, if you read it on the other side, it would be bubon. The word rahav on the other side would be bahar, like a mirror image. And saru would be veres. But otherwise, it's a mirror, miraculously went through. Based on this, you know, there's a whole question if the letters that we have in the Aleph base today are the same letters that they have in the Torah, because we learned more in Hedin of Chabez there, that when they came back from Asher, they brought a whole bunch of letters with them, the Ksav Ashuris, and there's a thing, before then they had Ksav Ivri, and the question is, so what was the Torah written? So one of the rayas that Ritva there brings, that the Torah was written the same letters as us, because it says here that the Mem and the Samach and the Luchas were miraculous. That means they had a Mem then and a Samach in the Luchas exactly the way we have it today. Not like Ksav Ivri. But the Rishami actually says the letter Ayin was Benes. Sounds like the Rishami holds they had a different alphabet even in the Luchas, Ksav Ivri, rather than what we have today, Ksav Ashuri. But according to the Ritva and the Bavli, but because the Samach and Mem teaches us that the letters they had in the Luchas were exactly the same letters we have today.
Hello,
yeah.
Motto.
Yes.
Don't we learn that Ezra introduced Ashuri? Did he change it all to Ashuri?
That's exactly what I just... Yes, that's what we talked about. In the Sugid of Chafal Chabez, but they say that that was only... Ksav Ivri was only used for, you know, mundane language. They wouldn't write, use Ksav... According to the Shining, they always had Ksav Ashuris.
Yeah.
But it was not used for ordinary tasks, even for a contract. They only used it for a Sefer Torah or for the Luchas. And what Ezra did was, he brought it in that everyone should use it in their normal, you know, language, in the contracts and so on and so forth. That's what some the Ritva there in Megillah and others, you know, want to say. And the proof is that the Luchas had our Ksavis from this Gemara right here, that the Mem and the Samach b'nes ha-ya'imdin. It's our, because they had Ksaviv, they saw Ksaviv, and the Mem and Samach, they don't need a miracle in the Ksaviv version of the Mem and Samach.
Yep.
Okay?
Shkar.
Okay, have a good